time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, back with the busy weekend. Great to be here. Second day of December 2019. Lord's not making another one. Happy birthday to Maggie, our little third-born Maggie, who was born on December 2nd, and her daughter was born on December 1st. So we had little Mia's birthday party last night, and then Maggie has a birthday today, and it's just amazing, amazing. Circle of Life. I think that was a Disney movie, wasn't it? The Lion King, The Circle of Life. Amazing thing to wake up and think I'm 67 years old in like a week, right? 67 years old. Then Mia becomes three, and then Maggie becomes, I don't even know. Sorry, Mag. I don't even know how old she is. And understand the importance. Hey, let me ask you something. Who shared the gospel with you? Who shared it with you? And how did that whole thing come apart? And was it just a confluence of events that brought you to Jesus? Or did somebody just hit you one time, boom, it hit? Had somebody planted a seed and other people come along and watered it? Who planted the gospel in you? Do you ask yourself that much? Do you ever do that? I mean, had a friend who used to talk every once in a while. I said, but I got to go out and get people saved. I got to go out and get people saved. And I listened to him say it for a while. I said, listen, Dave, but let's make life easy. Just sit down because you ain't saving nobody. You ain't getting nobody saved. And if you think you're going to go out of here and you're going to go get people saved, you got it all wrong. Because the scripture says that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. It's on the way. You cannot save anybody. But we are to go ye into all the world. It's what the scripture tells us, right? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And question for you today is, who did that for you? Who's that faithful planter and that faithful waterer? Who were those people who faithfully did that? And I know in my own life that I can look back over when that seed was planted in me several different times. And sometimes it took a little bit of root. In fact, we could go to the parable of the sower, but I'll make Larry mad if I start talking about the parable of the sower, because it's not about the seed. It's about the sower. It's about the ways we're supposed to react when we sow the word of God. And see, sometimes we go to, sharing the gospel, whatever that means, out sharing the gospel, we get frustrated because we don't close the deal. It's like you're a salesman, right? And you walk away and you didn't close the deal and you didn't get your commission. Ah, daggone, I almost had another jewel in my crown. I wasn't able to close that deal. That's not what it's about. That isn't even how it works. I believe there's an appointed time in everyone's life, and I'm going to, woo, oh, Lord, thank you. Man, that one went right through me, Randy. Woo, something went right through me. There's something that just went right through me. There is an appointed time, folks. If you think there is an appointed time in our lives, we miss the time of his visitation. We know that scripture says that spirit not always strive with men. You're not always going to have an opportunity. It's not always going to be there. It isn't always going to be there. And to ask yourself how many times maybe when we get into heaven and we get that video replay of our life, and we'll see the opportunities we missed along the way. Who shared it with you? And the question is, do you have an obligation to share with anybody else? Is your job only to get them to church and let your pastor do that? Who shared the truth with you? Because that's really what's under assault in America today, is the truth. Everywhere you look. I wrote about that yesterday in my newsletter. I was telling you all of about them, you know, the truth. And sometimes it ain't pleasant, man. Sometimes it isn't. We're seed planters. If we could just get that. Folks, I'm gonna really shock you. When I share the gospel, whatever that word even means, whatever that term even means, I got to tell you this. I rarely, rarely use the word hell. I rarely do. First of all, most Americans don't believe in literal hell. When it gets right down to it, most of them really don't believe in literal hell. Number two, they have great confusion about hell. Maybe I'll do a teaching on that someday, a great confusion about what hell is and eternal. Are the flames in hell eternal? You mean you burn forever and ever and ever and ever? Anything else you throw into fire, it burns up and it's done. So no, I'm not sure we understand the concept of hell. And I know others who've told me that that was a thing that, well, I'm struggling with an issue right now of I won't say who it is, that someone said, how can I serve a God that will allow people to burn forever and punish them in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? How can you possibly serve a God like that? Now, folks, that's a get right where you live kind of question, isn't it? How do you explain that in three sentences? And so I don't lead with hell. I don't lead with hell. People are not, when they're alive walking the earth, they're not thinking about heaven and hell. I can promise you that. And I also promise you this. They think they're going to heaven. They think we come down, it's comparison, see. You say, well, hey, I'm better than Mike Heath, right? I'm better than him. Now, I may not be as good as Randy, but I'm better than Heath. So I'm going to make it. I'll make the cutoff. I'll be okay. And that's really what most, they say, listen, I know this guy goes to church and that guy goes to church and he's a phony. I'm better than him. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're okay. Everybody's okay. And God loves everyone. So I'm going to show you a video here this morning as we get rolling. I got some powerful things happened this weekend, just powerful things. And I want to be able to share some of those things with you. I want to thank Bobby Lee. God bless Bobby Lee. Michelle and I got up Friday night and we drove down to Louisville, Kentucky, because Bobby Lee said he was going to go to that death pit down in Louisville. And I said to Michelle, Bobby deserves our support. And we jumped in a car and we drove down Friday night and we stayed down there. And OJ and Dorita showed up and Bobby showed up and Linda showed up. Michelle showed up. I'm not forgetting anybody, am I, honey? I think that's it. And it was just a handful of us, but boy, am I glad I went. I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to show you why I'm glad I went. And I appreciate Bobby. I've just scheduled recently and I'm going to talk about this. By the way, listen, Russ Dizdar tomorrow. Russ Dizdar is joining us tomorrow. So get your questions ready for Russ. He's going to be in here tomorrow. I'm going to be flying next week. Next week on this day, I'll be in Helena, Montana. It's a long story. I'll give you more information this week as we progress through the show in coming days. But I'll be in Helena, Montana next week for, are you ready, Bobby? A Child Protective Services thievery of a child, two children out of a family. And I'll be in Helena, Montana. I think I'm saying that right. Next week. So, be praying for us for that. I really shut down a lot. I hate to use that term, but we back off a lot during the holiday season just because people aren't interested in it. I'm having a big bread giveaway. I got to get that on. Well, I'm all over the place this morning. I'm sorry. Let me just sit down here, man. Calm down here, man. So we went to Louisville, Kentucky, and I had an opportunity. Jared, you can go ahead maybe and get that. Go to my Facebook page, Jared. Folks, when I look over here, I'm looking at a monitor. I have a monitor up here, and it's multi-million dollars. So I know it's important to look in the camera. So please apologize. Please accept my apology if I'm not always looking at the camera. But I had the opportunity at the abortion clinic. This is a 9-minute and 48-second tape. I'm not going to play it. Hey, Jared, let's try to forward that to about the 3-minute mark, although we're going to miss some of it anyway. Because I had an opportunity at the abortion clinic to have a conversation. It wasn't a conversation. It was a one-way conversation. It was a gospel conversation, a one-way gospel. Just hold it there a second, Jared, if you will, or Connor, whoever has it. And when the moment was over, I thought, boy, is that amazing. That was amazing. Now, I'm doing it. I'm not watching it. I'm doing it. I'm filming it, Facebook Live. It was pouring down rain. It was a miserable day. Bobby was preaching up a storm, and OJ and Dorita, and we had our crew there, and they had a huge number of death squads out there. Again, they always do down there. 14 of them, 14 babies died Saturday morning. One of the guys that goes there, he told me that was 54 on Saturday. I'm sorry, 14 on Saturday, 54 for the week. He's there every morning. He keeps a running total. 54 human beings slaughtered in Louisville, Kentucky at that one abortion clinic last week. 14 on Saturday morning while we were there. Got there bright and early. It's pouring down rain. I got an umbrella on. I got a hood up because I was cold. And folks, so that you get the picture, imagine like I'm facing right now, I'm facing the abortion clinic, okay? And as I'm facing the abortion clinic, there's a line of people in front of me all wearing these vests, these yellow vests. They are the death escorts. It's their job to protect the women, whatever that means, going in to get the babies murdered. We're not allowed on that property. And so they have their battles. They got their battle line drawn, and then we're on the other side of the battle line. And so what do you do? What are you supposed to do? So I like to share the gospel. And so I did. I've shared the gospel quite a bit down there, as did Bobby, as some of the others. But I have this 6-minute, 48-second clip that I want you to watch because I zeroed in. The Holy Spirit, I was standing, Randy, you'll appreciate this. A lot of you probably will appreciate this. I was kind of walking back and forth, just kind of praying under my breath and walking back and forth and taking a good assessment of what's going on around me. And my eyes zeroed in on this young girl, standing right at the main gate. And I couldn't get away from her. And the Holy Spirit had me double around, come back. I came back on her twice. And folks, I want you to watch because, first of all, I'm going to give you fair warning. Some of you are going to think this is harsh. Okay? It tells us in the book of Jude, I could pull it out right now, by the way, rescue some by pulling them out of the fire. This is a rescue mission, my friends. It don't always look pretty. If you're out on a highway and you come upon an automobile accident and there are bodies strewn on the highway, that rescue is not a pretty sight, baby. You grab people and you drag people and you anybody done that? You don't have to testify. You know what I'm talking about? It's not a pretty sight. Rescuing is never a pretty sight. All right. So for all of you out there who's going to say, well, you're just full of hate and yada, yada, it says to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. Remember this, I'm there to rescue those children. But also, as I'm trying to rescue those children, I'm trying to warn the wicked, Ezekiel 3, to warn the wicked, warn them, not love the wicked, warn the wicked. That is love, by the way, that is love. And I zeroed in on this young girl and I asked myself as the Holy Spirit was moving me there, why is she here? Why is this young girl here? What is it? Lord, show me what to say. I want you to watch for about the next 6 minutes. Some of you have probably never seen anything like this. As I turn the Holy Spirit loose on this young girl. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Comes here every Saturday. She said that girl that I was talking to, rebuking her, has killed, been part of the murder of tens of thousands.
Hang on a second, Jared. Stop it. One of the ladies prompted me. Listen, remember, I went earlier to this girl, this young girl that I'm going to witness to. If you start the beginning of this, you don't have to, Jared. If you start the beginning, I witnessed to her, and then I went back. I told you, remember, I was doubled back. The Holy Spirit was talking to me. And one of the ladies who goes there every Saturday told me, said, this girl has been here as responsible for tens of thousands of abortions. That's what the lady there standing there told me. This girl is responsible for tens of thousands. Now, that's I got thinking about that. That's a lot of babies, right? So maybe she just said thousands. Or maybe it was just 1,000. But she said, this girl right here is responsible for 1,000 abortions. So I've already spoken to this young girl once. The Holy Spirit doubles me back around. So that I'm just giving you the background, what I'm talking about right here. And the Holy Spirit's about to unleash on her. Go ahead.
What would make somebody do that? To give their life to the destruction of other life? See, murder, misery loves company. And women look back at the situation. They say, well, you know, I was in a tough situation and I really didn't know what to do. And so I went ahead and aborted my baby and it was the right thing for me. But she goes to bed every night, wakes up every morning and it's on the thought of the baby that she killed. It's been a life of torment. She thought it was a temporary solution, permanent solution to a temporary problem. That's what she thought it was. And I got to tell you something, folks. These people right here, they're demonic. They're wicked. Nobody's telling them that, see? They say, well, Coach, you need to pray for him. They're wicked. They're wicked. They come here every Saturday. Every Saturday. They come out here and do this. I'm going to harden my heart to do something like this. I was trying to read what she has on her badge there. I will ignore you so hard you will start to doubt your own existence. You got that one right. That's what you're doing to those little babies. That's what you're doing to those little babies. Hey, sweetheart. Christ is calling out to you, dear. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. You can light up your cigarette. Well, you're going to walk away from here. You're never going to be able to say that nobody warns you, but I did. I'm warning you.
You don't have to be condemned before
I'm warning you. Jesus will not always cry out to you. He's not always going to be merciful towards you, dear. His mercy is available to you right now.
The Bible says, for God so
you better know this. As our friend said, tens of thousands. Thousands of babies. She's been responsible for the killing of thousands of babies. That lay heavy on a woman's soul.
They did not believe God.
I lay heavy. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Looks like you've chosen so far, but choose this day. You got another chance. This day. You got a choice. Harden not your heart, the Bible says. Harden not your heart.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think you just need a daddy. I just think you need a daddy to take you and wrap his arms around you and let you sit on his lap. That's what you need.
Ma, please come out here and talk to us.
We've warned you, dear.
Please turn from this evil today. And please don't be confused. This is evil.
Can you imagine a grandmother being out here?
This is
probably a grandmother.
It's not merciful.
Can you imagine her being out here doing this? Thanksgiving weekend, putting on this ridiculous hat.
Jesus Christ.
And coming out here. She's old enough to understand what's going on. This young girl here, she doesn't get it, really. She doesn't really get it. She does. There's another one going in there, sir. Another one going in. Church doesn't care. Church is sitting in the church. They're probably having Ohio State, Michigan parties today. And there's lives in here that are being destroyed. I promise you, these women, they're here out of hurt. This lady's been hurt. She's been hurt. And so she lives out her pain by pulling other people, just like a crab, pulls that crab right down in the bucket with her. There's hope for this one. She's young. She doesn't know. She's been following people like this. This guy, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know what to tell you. Here's a tender little Catholic woman appealing.
It's not too late to walk out. The door did not lock behind you.
Yes, ma'am.
You can even get up off of the abortionist table and say, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not giving you my child.
I can't say this with enough urgency. The Lord's calling your name, sweetheart. He's calling your name. This guy beside you can laugh all he wants to. Jesus is calling your name, baby. You're going to give an account. I got you in the reflection. You're going to give an account for every deed we ever did. I'm going to. We all will. You're going to. But the Lord brought me all the way from Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, to come down here, call out to you, to turn from your wicked ways. The killing of unborn babies. Thousands of them, our friend said here. Thousands. She's killed. This young girl has been part of killing thousands.
With the human sacrifice that takes place, people that have spent their life in Satanism and witchcraft.
See, Bobby's talking about something for a lot of you. Let me get around
here. That was powerful. That girl's under unbelievable conviction. Now, here's what you have to understand. Seeds were planted or seeds were watered. We don't know. We don't know what would drive that young girl to be so angry to be out there to kill, help kill other people's babies. But I believe this is going to bear fruit. I believe this girl is going to come to Christ. Maybe not this week, maybe not next week. I'm going to tell you something. She was sucking on that cigarette so hard. She was under such conviction. She didn't know what to do. These are the kind of things we need to learn how to do. Somebody come on in. Some comments about that. Not about me, but that's a great lesson on how to share the gospel without hitting them over the head with hell and damnation and Jesus loves you. I never mentioned any of those. Not one of those. Somebody come on in. Okay, you don't have to. It's all right. It's all right. I got to show you something else.
I'll chime in for just a second, Coach. I haven't smoked cigarettes since January 8th, and watching her, the way she was reacting, it was very evident. Something was disturbed in her spirit. And
amen.
That something was you talking to her. So, and it wasn't you. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through you.
But, Kevin, I loved her enough to drive 3.5 hours down there, 3.5 hours back to deliver the mail to her. I loved her enough to do that. And for those who criticize and say, well, you were so harsh, yada, 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 I know where your butt was. How about this? I know where your butt wasn't. I know that. And see, you never know when you're going to be somebody else's answer. You never know. I'd love to follow up. So it's coming. She's coming.
Coach, the words you spoke to her pushed the buttons that broke into her, and she heard something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you are so right. Her, she's going to make a decision. Maybe not right one, but she's going to make one.
Well, I fought with you right there, didn't I, Randy?
Yes.
You know what? If she comes to Christ, somebody's going to reap where they didn't even plant. That's going to be the easiest plant anybody ever picked. That one would be right there because that seed went deep, brothers. That's all yes, that's all we can do. All we can do is sow the seed. And then the other big news. Go ahead.
We're farmers, Coach.
We're farmers. But, hey, listen, folks. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. I was thinking about this morning. Obedience. You know, we all say we serve the Lord. We all like to say that. But if the truth were to be known or really unwrapped, we really serve ourselves. And when it comes to whatever the situation might be, and you have an opportunity to step up and stand up and speak up and do whatever, most of us, you know, Jesus tells us to count the cost. But really, there isn't a whole lot of cost to count if you're a dead man. You're really, really dead to yourself, dead to your own wishes and your own ways, then that whole process becomes easier. See, obedience, my friends, isn't hard if there are no consequences. Obedience is only hard when there's a price to pay. When my grandma used to make homemade bread, I can still smell it. She used to make that homemade bread. She would say, Davy, I made you some coffee bread. And I would go down there and she would have the homemade bread that she'd make and she'd pour coffee on it, put sugar on top of it. And I was obedient to eat it. Didn't cost me anything. It's easy to be obedient when it didn't cost me anything. It's easy to be obedient when there's something in it for you. Not easy to be obedient when it's going to cost you something. That's why they call it, said Jesus was obedient even unto the cross. He had counted the cost and the price was great. And Jesus himself said that nobody builds a house and gets halfway through it and decides it was more than they were willing to pay. He said, don't you catch yourself doing that. And really, the power of Jesus is missing in the world because men of God in particular will not obey. No, stop. I'm not talking about laws. do this, don't do that. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God and responding. Because listen, if it was easy, it wouldn't take obedience. Wasn't hard for him to eat grandma's coffee bread. It was easy to obey it. When the rubber meets the road, where the rubber meets the road in America is, in Christian America, men, when they hear something from the Lord, or when the scripture says, for you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. When that moment comes to you, when you know to do something and you don't do it, you're going to find out you don't do it because you have been checked in your own heart by you and your wants and your needs and your desires and your fears. You have blocked the blessing of others through your disobedience to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. When we went to Chappaqua, New York, and Randy went and put his hands on that gate, he left first without doing it. We drove down the road about a mile, come up, said, Coach, I got to go back. I got to go do what he told me to do. And no matter how much somebody else told me it was crazy, he went and did it. Laid his hands on that threshold and opened that portal. Got in his car and drove back to New York and flew back to Oklahoma. And went home, and he knows this, he was obedient. Not responsible for it. See, I'm not responsible for whether the young girl comes to Christ. That's not my responsibility. My job's to serve up the steak. Let her eat it. If you don't like it, not my responsibility. I cooked what the Lord told me to cook. I did it the best way that I could. And that's why the scripture says, choose you this day. You choose. I'm going to offer it, you choose it. But most men, most of us are so fearful of men and so fearful in our culture, in our society. My friends, listen, we will not stand up and do the right thing. Our government, hang on with me. Our government's totally out of control, totally and completely out of control. People are being locked up for the stupidest things, getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for the stupidest things. And the people at the top of our government are running free, rent free, if you don't mind me saying it. We're murdering babies. Justifying how we're murdering babies and that it's okay. And good men won't stand up and say anything, and they won't stand up and say anything because it's going to cost them something. Homosexuality is being, pardon my pun, crammed down the throat of our children, and men won't stand up and do anything about it. Why? Because they're fearful. When they realize, well, if I stand up and say something about it, they're going to pillage me in the media. Yeah, they sure are. They whipped Jesus. They hit him with a cat of nine tails and strung him up on an old tree. Yeah, hey, boys and girls, you're going to get your butt kicked. You stand up for truth, I promise you this, you're going to get your butt kicked. But Jesus, the Bible says, is obedient unto death. Are you? Will you be? Have you been obedient unto death? Is it any surprise to you that the devil's winning when we won't even stand up? Why won't we stand up? Because we won't obey. We're afraid. We don't want to pay the price. We don't want to count the cost. We don't want to pay the consequences of it. And so we allow others to be. I didn't mean to be on such a monologue, but it's about obedience. It's all it's about.
Hey, Coach, you know, that video that you showed, that's a great lesson for the uninitiated of how they should act when they go to the abortion clinic. A lot of people just don't know. They're afraid to go because they don't know what to do, but that's an example of what you should do.
Listen, my job, I'll never forget this. I learned this from Flip Benham. God bless Flip Benham. I don't ever go to get people saved. I never go to the abortion clinic to get people saved. I never go to the homosexual pride parade to get people saved. I never do. Flip said, Coach, if you do that, you're going to be so frustrated. He said, you go and you lift up Jesus. You just go lift up Jesus. He'll do the rest. See, we got these formulas, and we got to think about what we got to say and whether you're going to be too harsh, and we have to show the love of Jesus. And
hey, folks, Coach.
They already know Jesus loves them. They already all know it. Yeah, Mark.
David stepped out of that army as a boy. bear and a lion. And he went out there to Goliath and he started sharing the gospel. And then when Goliath didn't listen,
that's true,
he whacked him in the head. And then he tied him up. And then he shared the gospel with him more until he's converted. Is that what he did?
Yeah. He did convert him, didn't he?
No, he waited for him to be knocked out, and then he cut his head off.
That's right. He didn't give him.
That's right. Yeah, every mission's not a gospel mission, and that's right, what the church thinks. Every mission, share the gospel, share the gospel. But look, David didn't. Some Goliaths have to be slayed, Coach.
Amen. They do, brother. They do. Yeah,
you know, a part of what David says, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. Well, he circumcised him. He just missed his mark a little bit.
Amen, Larry. Amen.
Yeah. Well, he made the crown jewels not work anymore, if you know what I mean, right?
Hey, Coach, let me jump in here. Two things. This video, this is the first time I've ever seen this video that you showed, and I'm going to have to watch it again. But as soon as you said Father, there was an immediate facial expression, and I almost wondered if she was going to start crying right there. And you're right. The next times that she hears the gospel and is convicted, it's not going to be that hard for her to run down the aisle screaming. And the next thing is, I turn around. We all watch the Catholics over there praying the rosary year after year, decade after decade, many of them literally on their knees. And I walked to Coach and I was like, do you think we're out of line? And I think you said, yes, of course they do, but they're in line. And you're exactly right. They are completely in line. Everybody else, these abortion slaughterhouses, can perfectly live with them on their knees over there praying decade after decade. It's the strong Christian men and women that are going to start getting loud. That's what's going to make them nervous and increase. When we start getting loud and in numbers, then things will begin to change.
They will, Bobby. They will. They will. And so my point I made to Bobby is this. This is me, okay? I don't say this. I'm not besmirching anybody. I don't know what good praying the rosary does. I really don't know. I was raised Catholic. I don't know what good it does. But at least they're there. At least they are there. And I hear so much criticism from people in regards to the Catholics and Catholicism, yada, yada, yada. It's amazing. Every time I go to the abortion clinic, there's some Catholics there. There aren't very many jellyfish. They're not there. But the Catholics are there, faithfully there. And it's sad because if the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, the leadership of the Catholic Church truly got behind the pro-life policies that they say that they have, abortion would end. 25% of Americans are Catholic. 25% of everybody, you walk up and down the street and you see one out of every four was raised Catholic. Do you understand that? One out of every four? You understand what a powerful army that is? Except they're not pro-life anymore. Now, some of them are. Some of them are and show up and pray the rosary and hold the crucifix. At least they're in line, Bobby. At least they're in line. They're not the enemy. That old boy told me he's there every day. 15 people died Saturday and 54 died for the week. How do you know? Because he's there counting them every morning. He was there. And we don't seem to care. We don't seem to care. Now, hang on, because this leads me to something, one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my life. And I wondered if anybody else had heard it. And I wondered if what was going to happen with it. And by the way, S-H-T-H. Yes, they heard it. What? S-H-T-H. Or T, whatever. You hit the fan. You know what I'm talking about? The S hit the fan. S-H-T-F. What happened? I was watching the Ohio State football game. If you guys weren't watching the Ohio State football Michigan game, you would have missed it. That Ohio State star running back, J.K. Dobbins, had a career 217 yards rushing, four touchdowns. He's just a beast. He's just a beast. And I want you to listen rather than me tell you. I want you to listen what Gus Johnson, Jared, maybe you can go up and get that ready. Gus Johnson, the play-by-play announcer of CBS, Fox, let me get there, before you get it up there, Connor, hang on a second. To tell him the life story of this young guy whose dad died in prison at age 33 years old, this J.K. Dobbins. He's from Texas, and what a warrior he is. And this guy was met with his mom and talked to his mom and how she was a single mother and yada, yada, yada. And then the most amazing thing happens out of the mouth of Gus Johnson. I couldn't believe it. And I'm going to tell you something. ST8, whatever. It hit the fan. It hit the fan. I knew it was going to. I knew it was going to. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I want you, this is about a minute long, and I want you to listen to what Gus Johnson, the announcer, says. Hey, we need to pray for Gus Johnson. They're going to come after him like they ain't never come after anybody else. Go ahead and play it, Connor.
What does this kid not do? He's churning the clock out in between the tackles, and then bam, lightning on the outside, the explosiveness to go down, and then up and over the top to put that ball over the goal line for a touchdown. What a day for J.K. Dobbins. Absolute dominant performance from Dobbins and this offensive line.
J.K. Dobbins' mom, Maya, became pregnant when she was 18 years old. She went to the doctor because she was thinking about aborting the baby, but changed her mind. That baby turned out to be that young man, J.K. Dobbins, who she calls her miracle baby. 211 yards rushing.
Is that unbelievable? Huh? On national TV, living proof that an unborn baby is a human being. Oh, my goodness, did the left go crazy? Did the left go crazy? Go to my Facebook page real quick, Connor. That miracle baby. That baby turned out to be that young man. Gus Johnson said, her miracle baby. Scroll on down, because I want to show you something. So I put this meme out there. On down, Connor. I'm sorry, I'm dominating this. Stop, stay right there. Right there. Right there, right there, right there. Evidently, when J.K. Dobbins was in his mother's womb, he wasn't her body. Put the next one down there. Scroll down one more, Connor. I wonder how many potential great running backs have been aborted. God bless J.K. Dobbins' mom. What a moment.
Hey, Coach.
Now, go ahead.
You know, one of the things you said, evidently, when he was in her womb, it wasn't a part of her body. So accurate. Anybody that's been raised on a farm knows that when the baby calf comes out, it's not hooked to the mama cow with the umbilical cord. It's hooked to a big blob of stuff called the placenta that comes out also. It is not hooked to the mother. The baby that is in every human mother's belly or uterus is not connected to her body in any way, shape, or form. It is simply in there. That baby is also connected to an afterbirth or a placenta, which is floating inside her uterus in whatever they call embryo, whatever they call that stuff that's around it.
It doesn't matter.
Fluid that's around it, but it's not a part of her body. It is simply in her body.
Why isn't J.K. Dobbins' mother out there carrying the ball? Huh? Why isn't she out there? If it's her body, why isn't she out there carrying the ball? See, it's just the lies. It's what we were talking about the other day. Just the lies that we put up with. The truth is falling in the street, and the church. How can America continue to permit the slaughter of unborn children? Other than it's based on lies. Every lie. When I go to the clinic again, every argument they have is a lie. Everyone. Every stinking one of them. It's a lie. And lies rule the day. they rule the day. So let me go to some more lies. Click down on Life News. Life Site News. I said the other day, I felt bad that, you know, Chick-fil-A was just acting like the church, really is all they were doing. They're just acting like the church. Scroll down a little bit, Connor, because this should have had an article that came up. Keep on going down. Life-size news. We find out that our good friends, why is that not coming up here, Lord? Our good friends at Chick-fil-A, they've been doing a little bit more than just, oh boy. Shocking things, Chick-fil-A funds. You ready? A lot of talk about them. They say we're based on biblical principles, this Chick-fil-A. Those were the words that were based on biblical principles, asking God, pleading with God to give us wisdom and decisions. So Chick-fil-A, somebody went to back and looked at their donations. You ready? So scroll on down, Connor. Okay, here we go. 2017, Chick-fil-A donated money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know who those are, right? They're the ones calling me a hater. Chick-fil-A Foundation's recent announcement about its future funding reaffirmed redirection and recapitulation. For those defending Chick-fil-A, go all the way down, next down, Connor, next paragraph. For those defending, there it is. I lost it. Go to the left. Has their mission drifted away? Scroll up a little bit, buddy. I can't see it on my screen. There. For those defending Chick-fil-A and pretending we haven't witnessed their progressive capitulation, the Salvation Army sees it for what it is, stating in a press release, we're saddened to learn that a corporation partner has felt it necessary to divert funding to other hunger, education, and homelessness organizations. Salvation Army does all three on a massive scale, but they don't espouse an LGBTQRS ideology. And explain Chick-fil-A's funding decision, Rodney Bullard, the corporate guy, says, we don't want our intent and our work to be encumbered by someone else's politics or cultural war. See, they just want to love everybody. That's the gospel of Chick-fil-A, because it's the gospel of America. If someone gets in the way of our mission, that is something that we are mindful and cognizant of. So they decided they're not going to give any money to them. But let's see who they did give money to. Had the mission drifted too far left? Out of the organizations that do not espouse pro-ideology is the Covenant House. Don't let the Catholic Association fool you, though. Covenant House, a homeless shelter for youth, takes pride in its promotion of everything queer. They even marched in a gay pride parade. Guess the Salvation Army wasn't marching in the parade. Go to the next one. Chick-fil-A funds the deeply political YWCA, a radically pro-abortion, pro-LGBT organization. Chick-fil-A also funds the D.C.-based New Leadership Council that identifies as a hub of progressive millennial thought leadership, which exists to support one another along their individual path to a more progressive political and cultural landscape. Chick-fil-A has done sizable donations, $50,000 to the Pace Center for Girls, yet another pro-abortion organization. The Education Advocacy Group featured radical pro-abortionist Gloria Steinem. Or how about Usher's new look, R&B star Usher Raymond Ivey's liberal nonprofit. The group's disruptive summit is about progressive community organizing on pivotal social issues, including the homos. $38,000 they got. Chick-fil-A also gives tens of thousands to Chris 180, a $27,000 to $25,000 in 2019, a pro-LGBT behavioral and child welfare agency. The organization boasts of being awarded the leader in supporting and serving LGBT families and youth. You can always love and serve the broken without affirming their brokenness. And then there's the Junior Achievement, which inarguably does some phenomenal work. However, they were recipient of hundreds of thousands of Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A joined a coalition for pro-LGBT businesses in their Too Busy to Hate campaign. That's it. Yeah, that's the Junior Achievement. So much for not being encumbered by someone else's politics or cultural war. These groups, many more funded by Chick-fil-A, are clearly political and liberal. Of course, Chick-fil-A funds a lot of great initiatives, but they're being publicly dishonest about their corporate evolution and the millions of families who've supported them over the years because of the fast food chain's principal stand deserve to know exactly how cowardice that company has shown. in the face of the progressive activism.
Well, there's your truth. Coach? There's hey, Coach.
Truth. Yes.
Did you hear that Chick-fil-A had you? It's called Laodicean Chicken, and it's served lukewarm with a puke bag.
That's a good one. So there we are, right? See, Chick-fil-A is Christian America. They are Christian America. Can we see this? Why? Because, again, we don't understand the gospel. We don't understand the gospel. Chick-fil-A. We got 14 minutes. Robert, you get ready here. Anybody else? Come on in here. I've been all over the place today, but it's I just have been.
This is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
This Saturday, we're having three churches.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to see what God does that day.
Yep. Hey, Joseph, make sure to carry a sign and tell them that Jesus loves them, will you? I'm going to tell you, they know that. They know that. In fact, they quote Scripture back to us as well as we quote Scripture to them. Oh, they know the argument. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Make us live up to our own standards. Oh, they know the gospel. They know Jesus loves them.
Yeah, we have a couple signs that we just put up, as well as Black Babies Matter as well. Yeah.
But hey, Rob, I did that in Columbus. They called the police on me. Hateful, racial, hate speech. Black Babies Matter. Yep, I'm telling you the truth on that one, Joseph. December 2nd, Robert Klaus.
See what's right. Got. Well, this is pretty long, Coach. It's
right. I took up a lot of time. You can have a little bit of it.
It's got about 46 verses here. People need to go back here and meditate on this stuff, but I'll read it for you. December 2nd, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Says Corey Ten Boom. Spiritual deception won't deliver. We are a fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. To those whom Jesus is drawing, whom the Spirit is convicting, whom God is calling and saving, we are a breath of fresh air, of Holy Spirit life. But what about those who fail to hear and learn from the Father, who are unwilling to come to the Son for eternal life, who insult the Spirit of grace, who brings salvation to all men, and who stubbornly refuse to repent before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't be surprised that the Jesus haters who love the world and serve its God also hate and reject the gospel of truth. They are storing up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds.
Boy, you don't hear that one, brother. You don't hear that one.
Sure don't. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Yeah, that's a free will there. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already.
Amen.
Because he has not believed in
the
Son.
Read that again for me, brother. Read that again for me out there. Jesus loves everybody, folks. Read that again, Robert.
Says, he who believes in him, Jesus, is not judged.
Amen.
He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unless God grants them repentance and they come to their senses and respond, free will, respond to God's grace and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, they will continue to be held captive by the devil to do his will and remain blinded by him to the light of the gospel. See, we see throughout Scripture the free will. It's not God sends people to hell. They send themselves by the free will choice of rejection.
Amen.
It's everywhere. Thus, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
That's what I told her, Robert. That's what I told her. Don't miss this time. This is it, man. This is the time right now. This is it.
That's true. You did. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even Peter writes, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, he warns them also, saying, God is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In other words, you know, it's once saved, always saved. You say a little prayer, well, there's warnings even to those people. Jesus often addressed spiritual deception. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
In other words, empty confession doesn't do anything. You have to have the active obedience. Amen. The devil is no respecter of persons when it comes to deception. He deceives the lost as well as those who think they are saved.
Amen.
Go to the typical church. You'll see it. In these last days of great deception, imposters are deceiving and are being deceived. Many false Christs and false prophets are arising and performing false signs and wonders. Many are falling away from the faith and truth and turning aside to myths and doctrines of demons. Many preachers have a disdain for preaching repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ear-tickling writers and preachers preach from their own private interpretation, not from Scripture, who peddle and adulterate the Word of God rather than handle it accurately. They are sending deceived multitudes to a place they never dreamed of going, many clutching religious security blankets, thinking they were ever so secure. Such ones don't live and confess Jesus as Lord, though they may have once upon a time professed him as Savior.
Mm-hmm.
They do not die to sin, but live in sin. They choose not to follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus gives eternal life to those who hear his voice, not the voice of hirelings, to those who follow him, not after them. Eternal life is promised to those who hold to a, is not promised to those who hold to a sin-friendly spirituality based on false grace, but to those who stand firm on the true grace of God and continue exercising true faith in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
So here Amen. It's a clear teaching that we have free will to obey and must obey. It's not confession, and then go back to your old ways.
Amen. Amen. So let me switch gears. I just got to go right on you one more time, okay? I got to finish with this one. Go to my Facebook page, Connor. I put a meme up yesterday. I've told all of you. I use Facebook as fire starters. I start conversations. Go on down, Connor. I think it's down. I don't know how that get. No, wait a minute. Go down. Are you on my own page? Yeah, go there. There's where you got to go. There you go. There you go. Keep on going down there because I'm going to show you a meme that I put up. I couldn't believe the response. Hey, right there. Back up, Connor. Right there. Okay, there. This show's brainwashing, folks. I said, I'm taking a poll for a friend. Which is more common in the media? Anti-Jewish bigotry or anti-Christian bigotry? Now, folks, I'm talking about in the media. Is the media more bigoted towards Christianity or Judaism? And I couldn't believe the responses I got. I couldn't believe it. When's the last time you heard any bigotry at all about the Jews in the mainstream media? Can anybody tell me what the... Somebody help me out here, man. This blew my mind. This absolutely blew my mind. There is anti-Christian bigotry everywhere you look. Yet we've been convinced that the greatest bigotry at all, the Christians, I'm telling you, Christians believe the greatest is the anti-Jewish bigotry. Can somebody give me an example of anti-Jewish bigotry? I'm gonna wait here a minute. In the media, can somebody give me some anti-Jewish bigotry? I'll wait. Can anybody give me any anti-Christian bigotry? See, in my mind, they aren't even close. These two things aren't even close. Yet, Christians have this mindset. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't the Jews run the media?
Mark, I didn't want to say that.
I just asked the question. It's a question. Don't they? Would so? Don't they choose?
I was amazed. Listen, if you go look, just start reading down there. There's 17 comments. Equally, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Tell me you're kidding me, right? But see, again, I'm trying to show you our mindset, right? Mindset. Now, some of them got it right, but some of them.
So who's the true Jews, Coach? Those that hate Jesus or those that love Jesus?
Say that again, Randy. I missed the beginning.
So who's the true Jews here, according to Paul? Those that hate Jesus, which is those that love Jesus. See, when you bring Jesus in, that separates everything.
Randy, I didn't want to go here this morning. That's why I waited until just the last end of it here. Okay. Just the last. Because you do understand this, don't you? That every group, 90% of all groups fighting against Christmas, Jesus in the public square. Folks, just dig deep and see where their connection is. Just dig deep. George Soros, a Baptist? He a Baptist boy? He a Baptist boy? Southern Poverty Law Center. Those some good old Baptist folk down there doing that, you think? Morris Dees and those guys?
All those Christians, anti-Christian folks, they don't really understand at all, because in reality, when you're bashing the Christians, you're bashing an adopted Jew.
Coach, how can we be part of something that is still crucifying Jesus?
Well, Randy, I just asked a question. And people can't even see Christian bigotry. They can't even see anti-Christian bigotry. That's my point. My point's not about the Jews. We can't even see the anti-Christian bigotry. It's everywhere in our culture. Why? Because they hate Christ. Amen. They hate Jesus.
Amen.
All the bigotry you see is anti-Christian bigotry. That's it. It's everywhere. We got schools saying, we got schools giving prayer time to Muslims. Right? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We're tearing down the Ten Commandments. Why? It offends people. That's anti-Christian bigotry. Larry, they want to serve halal foods. Well, that goes against my Christian beliefs. No, that's bigotry. People don't even see it. They don't even see it. We are encompassed with a web of hatred for Christ and all things Christian, and we don't even see it. And the media points out where the black guy gets some discrimination, and the Jewish guy gets discriminated against, and the Muslim guy gets discriminated against. And there is not a lower class citizen in America than the Christian, strong Christian male. Not a lower class citizen in America than the strong voiced Christian male. And we don't even see it. And that's why those strong voiced Christian males have gone soft and turned into Chick-fil-A, and they support every ungodly thing you could ever support, because they understand that they have to appease the haters of Christ to get them to leave them alone. Now, you can go, see, you can make this anti-Semitic if you want to. This has nothing to do with that. I'm pointing out which is the most persecuted group in America. Christians. It just hasn't led to death yet. We'll see you tomorrow.